Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com. /Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. So, radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Thank you for all your questions over the past few weeks and months, and keep them coming because they're grist for the mill for our weekly discussion. What's next, Layla?
We have an email from Emily. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I love your podcast and very much appreciate your sense of humor, so thank you for your work. I have a question about fibrinogen.
I'm a failed stand-up comedian. I bombed at nightclubs, so I decided to do podcasts instead.
You decided to be a doctor. Okay. Yeah. I have a question about fibrinogen. Mine has come back high on recent blood work at about 455. So I basically have jello for blood.
Well, let's talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why, you know, fibrinogen isn't routinely tested. Does it say why fibrinogen was tested here?
She's otherwise healthy. She's 48 years old. I do have an autoimmune condition, psoriatic arthritis, but all my inflammatory markers are currently normal. Again, except this one. After a bad flare 1 year ago where they all went through the roof.
Oh, okay.
And I only use lifestyle approaches to control the autoimmunity.
Okay, so hang on. So let's talk about fibrinogen. I don't routinely test for fibrinogen, but you know, it's a risk factor for blood clots.
Yes.
And, you know, people walking around with high fibrinogen, they're more likely to get a heart attack or stroke.
Yeah.
Fibrinogen is a glycoprotein, which means it's a protein that's, you know, attached to some sugars.
Mm-hmm.
It is a precursor to fibrin. So it is fibrinogen.
Yes.
It generates fibrin, which forms blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which the little tendrils that you see that pull platelets together, that's fibrin.
Yes.
That's
yes.
fibrin.
Okay.
You can see that under the microscope when you look at a blood clot.
Yeah.
So it's fibrinogen. It generates fibrin. So we need fibrin because it, you know, we bleed to death without fibrin.
Sure.
So everybody's got some fibrinogen. But when it's high, it might lead to thickening of the blood. That's why she kind of humorously says, my blood is like jello.
Yeah.
It's thicker, in effect, or potentially
right.
going to clot more.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Fibrinogen is an acute phase protein.
Hmm.
In other words, there are some proteins that are running around in the body that in the case of inflammation, inflammation causes them to rise.
She has psoriatic arthritis.
And she has psoriatic arthritis, which she says, and this is characteristic of psoriatic arthritis, there's no blood test for psoriatic arthritis.
Yeah.
Unlike rheumatoid arthritis, for which there is rheumatoid factor and citrullinated protein CCP is the one test, another test, confirmatory test. Often accompanied by high sed rate and high C-reactive protein. These are inflammatory markers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did say that she had one.
She had a bad flare a year ago.
Where those markers were high.
They went through the roof.
Okay. Some of them were high. Maybe not rheumatoid factor. There's also something called seronegative arthritis, where you hurt, your joints are stiff and they're swollen, and the blood tests seem to be normal. But sometimes you look at these acute phase reactants and they're high. Another one, and this gets a little confusing, is ferritin.
Oh, yes.
So this you can have a paradoxical situation in
ulcerative colitis where you have bleeding and iron loss, and then you say, oh my God, let's look and see if there's iron deficiency. We'll look at ferritin. That's a marker of iron status. And we go, oh, but the ferritin's fine, or it's high.
Or it's like 250.
Yeah.
It's 400.
Spuriously elevated. It's no longer an accurate marker of iron status. Mm-hmm. It is an acute phase reactant because it's a protein that responds to inflammation, like fibrinogen.
Yeah.
So
Emily says, interestingly, after taking natural blood thinners like ginkgo biloba, natokinase, green tea extract, ginger, and EPA DHA for 3 months, my fibrinogen actually went up 5 points.
It may be that their blood thinners that work on a different part of the blood pathways that lead to blood clots.
Mm-hmm. Is there
anything? Because fibrinogen is not the only.
Yeah.
It's not the only mediator of, the susceptibility to clotting.
Emily's wondering if this is genetic, should she even be worried, or is there anything else she could do? She says, I already follow a very healthy anti-inflammatory diet. I exercise daily. I've always been athletic. I stopped taking vitamin D with K2 because K2's involvement with coagulation.
No.
Don't do that. Take your D and your K.
Because K2 doesn't work on fibrinogen. It works on the it works on the complement pathway, which is different. It also, you can take K2 till the cows come home. It won't make your blood clot.
Right.
It's simply, in the absence of K, your blood will not clot.
Yes.
K deficiency can cause bleeding, but K excess won't cause clots.
Right.
It'll just restore your normal clotting ability.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't want to necessarily induce deficiency of K. That wouldn't help the effort. That's what a lot of conventional doctors are confused about. They'll say, you've had a blood clot. Don't take vitamin K.
Yeah.
No, you can take vitamin K. Unless, one instance, when you're on Coumadin, it will reverse the blood thinning effects of Coumadin. That's the only time. And all these other new drugs, what are some of these drugs?
Eliquis.
Yeah.
Pradaxa.
Thank you. See, together we have a brain. It's like it's a good thing.
Eliquis is better than Pradaxa, right? Because Pradaxa, there's no antidote if you do bleed.
I didn't.
Isn't it?
I know that
one of them
they developed
dangerous?
An antidote to one or another.
Okay, because I remember one being.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that was the problem.
Don't shave anymore or
no,
something.
No, it
don't cut yourself. You,
at least with Coumadin.
Don't use a mandolin.
At least with Coumadin, you know, they give you vitamin K if you have an accident.
Yes.
But
with
those other things, it was like, oh my God, you have to wait till they wear off. Now they can reverse it. Or say you need emergency surgery, you know.
Oh, exactly. So what do we recommend for Emily with this high fibrinogen? It just could be that she is still a little inflamed, although the other inflammatory markers are normal now.
I know, but that may be the...
It may be the one that's still hanging on?
Right. Because she may be...
Yeah.
She may be mitigating her psoriatic arthritis, but it's not completely extinguished.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, look, she says she's doing everything under the sun. Yeah. You know, if you saw her, we'd say, well, why don't you do this or that or the other thing? Take some other things.
Right.
Or maybe there's some dietary flaws, even though she's on the best possible diet for this.
Yes, there could be autoimmune something she's doing that
diet.
She doesn't know that she shouldn't be doing.
Right.
That's a possibility. All right. That's interesting. Okay.
Good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So listen up. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And hey, there's nothing better than free stuff. We want to keep it that way. Okay, what's the next question, Layla?
We have an email from Lynn. Hi, Dr. Hoppen and Layla. I'm a master's weightlifter. competing at age 63.
Woohoo!
In the Olympic lifts.
Woo!
Wow!
Whoa.
My lifting buddy, who has set numerous records, is 72.
Woo!
All right. Both of us take very good care of ourselves, knowing our bodies do not recover as well as younger lifters,
right,
and also are well aware that we're at greater risk of injury. As we
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we age, our skin grows increasingly thinner, and gripping the barbell becomes an issue.
Whoa.
Barehanded, we can use plenty of chalk, but that isn't enough to protect our palms.
I never lift enough weight for that to be a problem. So,
wow.
Hey, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, right?
Is that you're lifting so much weight that it's tearing the skin off your hands.
Wow.
Whoa.
Gloves are not disallowed in competition, but they are bothersome, and the sensory connection to the barbell is partially lost. We both use various collagen and joint supplements.
Yeah, yeah.
Any suggestions for our thinning skin?
Wow. You know.
First of all, kudos to you both for doing what you do.
It reminds me of the Australian song, "Tan Me Hide When I Died, Clyde." You know, which is, I mean, if you could do some kind of, tanning or astringent, to turn your hands into shoe leather.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of what a lot of people want to do. They want to keep like soft, supple skin.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there some sort of astringent application that can make your, hands like gripper gloves, that's what the wide receivers in the NFL would do. They would like get like super, turn their hands into super glue.
Yeah.
They can use gloves, so they're permitted to use gloves.
Right.
Some of those catches they make in the NFL are amazing. They're like, just grab the ball with like two fingers and bring it in, And
wow.
I think the gloves help that a little bit.
That's interesting.
This is an interesting type of problem. Let's put it out there because we do have a very athletic community.
Yes, that listens to these podcasts.
It's an interesting problem.
Yeah.
Is it possible to use, some sort of sticky thing on your hands? Will that mess up the gym apparatus? Certainly people chalk up their hands and things like that.
I'm thinking of gymnasts on the uneven bars and things, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what, Lynn, you say that gloves are not disallowed in competition, but they're bothersome in sensory connection. Have you tried a different type of glove? Have you exhausted all the glove choices?
Yeah, right.
Nitrile gloves or other gloves where you would really feel they're thin enough, but they're not gonna move your skin so much, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking of the various gloves my husband wears to do different things building the house. So, you can't have very heavy gloves when you're doing.
I know we have a question in there about a hernia.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to lead up to.
Yeah.
And I have a hernia, but this is.
No, that's a different. That's the next question, actually.
Okay. Because, speaking to this issue, is these. It's remarkable what senior lifters can do. And we've emphasized the real health benefits to seniors to doing it because it fends off sarcopenia.
Yes.
There's also brain benefits to that. You get a real super boost of BDNF, brain-derived you can't buy that stuff. You can't go to the health food store and get, I'd like some BDNF. No.
Yeah.
You
no.
have to make it. You have to generate it endogenously.
Yes.
And how do you do it? Through exercise. And powerlifting certainly can qualify for that. And also, it just keeps you, your cardiovascular system going. The problem is there really is something about collagen that changes as you age and it becomes more fragile. It becomes less elastic.
I wonder
and you can
how
be
much,
more prone to injuries.
Yeah. I wonder how much taking a lot of vitamin C might, that's probably something you'd have to start at a much younger age.
There's a limit to what it can do because you are actually,
thinning.
You're cross-linking your collagen, the aging process, and the repair, capacity decreases.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of exercise is all about breakdown and repair.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally,
causing
deliberate muscle damage, and the repair results in hypertrophy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bad thing when it comes to the heart. When the heart works extra hard, you get cardiac hypertrophy, and then you get a heart that becomes enlarged, and you get the outlet, the heart becomes so enlarged that the muscle gets in the way of the outflow, and, you know, that's the result of chronic hypertension or some sort of valvular stenosis or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's literally the way we train our muscles to be big, you know, our deltoids and our quads and our glutes and our, biceps.
Yeah.
But it's injury and repair, but our repair capacity decreases and also our recovery decreases. So these guys
they
are,
well know,
these guys are, scientific about it. They're, they're judicious about training. They want to get to what's called failure, which means, you know, do enough reps to the point where you can't do it anymore. And that's when you get the muscle build.
Yeah.
For me, failure is not an option. I that's what I say to my patients sometimes is, for you and me, failure is not an option.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be huge.
Yeah.
I like my closet. I don't want to get, you know.
You don't want to have to retail your stuff or buy a new wardrobe.
I don't want to get a size, you know, 46 shoulders in my, you know, jackets anymore. I just want the benefits of the exercise.
Right.
You know, so I do more reps at, and they're going to say,
at a lower weight.
That is so not Olympic weightlifting.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah.
Well, but
that's not the objective.
That's
for
not
you.
The objective.
Right. Lynn, I really want to, you know, that is wonderful. You and your partner who are doing this. See, I believe that strength training in particular is the fountain of youth. You are doing such beyond functional exercises to make sure that you will never need a walker or a cane because you won't become frail.
Muscle reserve. You
will
have plenty
of... You will always have muscle reserves.
Right.
You will never become frail.
And also,
you will be,
the other thing, you know, about Olympic weightlifting is it is so good for balance.
Oh, yeah.
Because those moves require exquisite timing and balance.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
The way they're
for,
on their feet, even.
Which is good for the brain circuitry that's associated with balance, the cerebellum, which is the balance center of the brain. So it's all good. I tip my hat to you. And you know, this hand thing is a nuisance, but maybe small price to pay for the glory.
Right, right. Investigate other types of gloves, Lynn. I encourage you. Thank you. Thank you for your email. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. All right.
And finally, parenthetically, I will say, you know, when people complain of skin thinning, I say DHA and testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they're competing.
If they're competing, they may not be allowed DHA.
They may not be allowed.
I have a competitive fighter client who cannot take DHA for his competition.
He gets tested.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have an email from Bob. I've recently noticed the start of an inguinal hernia. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
The protrusion is relatively small and does not hurt. I think it would be wise to stop weightlifting.
Well, wait a second. So, first of all, I would check. I would go to, now the type of doctor who specializes in inguinal hernias may not be obvious. I mean, I think primary care doctors can... and family practitioners can do an exam and determine if you have the beginning of a hernia. But the most expert doctors for doing that are general surgeons. And there are some types of surgeons who specialize in hernias.
Okay.
So I would get that checked because it could be that you have a psoas muscle a strain internally, which feels like a hernia. It's kind of like a dull groin pain, but it's actually much more easily... It doesn't have to be treated. It's more of a physical
therapy. It's more of a muscle pull strain?
Yeah, it's a physical therapy thing, and chiropractors can easily release that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if there's a tear in the fabric of your, you know, inguinal fascia, then, you know...
It needs some repair.
It might need repair, but certainly it would be judicious not to lift heavy.
Yeah.
Because the Valsalva maneuver of lifting puts a lot of pressure on that.
Okay. So... But Bob says, okay, would it be wise to stop weightlifting? Yes. But I would like to keep running.
And that may be problematic, too.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's a certain amount of pressure that's involved in running. But I would get it checked out.
Get it checked out. He says, I'm interested in how quickly this progresses to the point where I need to do something, but also what I should avoid in the meantime. P.S. I've been listening to you now for almost 30 years and never tire of your wise counsel.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah. Good to hear. And that may sound like hyperbole, but it's entirely possible because we started radio in 1987. Mm-hmm. So that would be 32 years by my calculation, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, Bob, get it checked
nobody
out.
Nobody knew what a podcast was.
No. That wasn't even, was that even a word? Pod. Cast. Besides a pea pod or, lily. What's the stuff in the ponds that are, no, I'm thinking
pond scum?
Pond scum.
We're free associating it. Okay, that's a bad sign. Maybe it's time to quit while we're ahead.
Yes.
All right. That's all the time that we have. I'm calling it. You know, once the free association starts, it's like downhill. So we have a couple more questions in the mailbox, but we encourage you to send questions so that we have more fodder for next week's Intelligent Medicine podcast. Probably by then, I'll be back from the American Nutrition Association meeting in San Diego, and I'll have lots to report on.
And you'll share with us the clinical pearls that you pluck from that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Layla.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla. This is part of our Intelligent Medicine series. Keep listening.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.